Well, I'm definitely recovering from the flu, and so it's time to do a podcast about something a little bit more in-depth than the flu. You're going to hear my voice break a little bit, but close to back to normal. I don't want to get on and on about the flu, but it is a bitch, let me tell you, this year. So I want to talk about election 2020. These days, there is a lot of chatter about who the candidates are going to be, but not so much about the issues. So I want to take some time to talk about the main issues of 2020 in podcast 871, the Bob Davis podcast, but not in the way that you think. And we'll talk about that shortly. Well, as we get into winter in Minnesota, a lot of people are going to be riding snowmobiles. And as always, we talk about boats, we talk about recreational vehicles, and all these things in this part of the country. And of course, people are injured on these things all the time. What do you do if you are injured? So this is why I give you a number by somebody like John D. Scott of Hoffman, Hamer & Associates, who is a great personal injury attorney, and ask you to put it aside because you never know when you're going to need it. 612-963-4629. That's 612-963-4629. Or let me give you his website too. You can check him out online at jdsinjurylaw.com. So here's the thing with John. He knows the thicket that you get into when it comes to insurance and workers' comp. For example, if you're injured at work or if you are injured in some other way and you really do need someone to help because, you know, you've been injured. And if it's a serious injury, then that falls on your family. And that's why you have great personal injury attorneys. So whether it's workman's comp, whether it is a work injury, whether it's another kind of personal injury, an accident comes without warning, even when you're having fun or when you're working. And that means you need to get the help that you really deserve. And that's John D. Scott. Okay. Call John Scott at Hoffman, Hamer & Associates. John's very down to earth. He understands both sides of this process. 612-963-4629. That's 612-963-4629. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com to visit jdsinjurylaw.com. My understanding is we're heading for a deep freeze, and of course, you might have frozen pipes, so put this number aside as well. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. All right, I'm going to start with a quote, and I'll tell you later who said it in the podcast. And it's on the subject of the psyche and metaphor in dreams and visions. And you'll understand why I'm reading this quote here shortly. And so these dreams, visions, and metaphors are a problem which life is always bringing us up against, namely the uncertainty of all moral valuation, the bewildering interplay of good and evil, and the remorseless concatenation of guilt, suffering, and redemption, a small, still voice that sounds from afar, ambiguous, questionable, dark, presaging danger and hazardous adventure, a razor-edged path to be trodden for God's sake only, without assurance and without sanction. To me, this describes the dreamlike nature of American politics, especially today. Not only are elections not always issues driven, deeper perceptions and valuations actually drive the process. Political people and especially the media, so the commentators and people who are super into issues, even if they're just regular people who watch a lot of cable television news, seem to want to break everything down to political science. But political science as a social science, we should all be reminded that the social sciences are not hard sciences. Just a little bit of research for this podcast yields a bewildering list of issues. They're all over the place. If you do a search for issues 2020, you're going to get the phone book on all of these different issues. Often they are extremely specific, and I don't think they really help in terms of understanding just what's going to go on in the next 8 months in this country. On that list are the role of the federal government in our lives, the need for government reform, a shadow bureaucracy controlled by dark forces to keep the good from doing their jobs, or the reverse, deficits in spending and, of course, taxes and regulation, politicians breaking the public trust, which usually means politicians of the party that you don't agree with doing things that they're not supposed to do, the military, the lack of nonpartisan recognition of issues, Main Street, a widening gulf of a agreement on top priorities: economy, healthcare costs, education, terrorism, Social Security, Medicare, the poor and needy, environment, jobs, reducing crime, drug addiction, budget deficits, global warming, terrorism, as I said, and immigration and the military, the environment, the poor and needy, healthcare costs, global warming, climate change, abortion, terrorism, guns and violence, nuclear weapons, the middle class, censorship, marijuana legalization, civil rights, campaign finance reform, student loan debt, poverty, society in general, and where we're headed, privacy laws, racism, toxic masculinity, Social Security, gerrymandering. I actually see these as themes more than issues, and not necessarily in the order of their importance. Depending on what part of the country you're from, some of these issues are more important than other parts of the country. So when you look at the national stuff, you kind of have to ask yourself, what can a U.S. president accomplish in one or two terms? Now, I could go through and give you a big history lesson on the one or two things that every president has been able to accomplish, good or bad. But what I want to do is talk about the issues for this year, this 2020 election, in this context, rather than the specific list of things and then the usual where people talk about abortion or they talk about marijuana legalization or guns or civil rights ad infinitum. And I'm not sure that those kinds of conversations have any impact in terms of being able to determine what's actually happened in the election. Let's take a sip of coffee here. Yeah, it's easier to talk, but it is still, you can hear all the congestion. And this is now like day 15 of this. And I mean, I'm done. I feel better, but it's interesting. You can still hear how devastating this year's flu is. Anyway, almost all the polling and conversations with people reveals a key personal and pocketbook issue that isn't being addressed. And it's not really even being talked about. And yet, in 2018, it was at the top of the list of almost all the House races, and in many cases, Senate races in 2018. And that is this question of health insurance. Most of the time you hear people talk about it, they talk about it as health care, but we're talking about health insurance. And I see this as the number one issue because really it's a dollars and cents issue for most families. What is the average cost of health care for a family of four? What do you pay for your family? So many caveats and prepays, huge deductibles that most people that I know can't even use their insurance because the deductible is so high unless they're in public assistance. And yet, families and businesses pay thousands of dollars a month for insurance that is basically not usable unless you have some kind of catastrophic problem. And then you have all kinds of rules for which doctors you can go to and what kind of treatments you can get and what will be paid and not paid. So we have a situation in this country where people get in health insurance and it doesn't do anyone any good. And yet it's super, super expensive. So you're paying, $1,600, $1,000, $1,200, $1,800, $800, depending on how old you are and how many people in your family, for something that's almost unusable. I had the flu this week, as I've mentioned a couple times in this podcast, and I went to quote-unquote the doctor twice. And I'll tell you what I find amazing. I think it's amazing I can go to a pharmacy clinic, talk to a PhD nurse practitioner. You end up spending $100 to $130 and another $60 in medications. You don't have to wait for hours. And within a relatively short period of time, you get relief. Keep in mind, the average family has less than $400 of savings in an emergency. People are out of their house if there is a medical emergency. And really, we're talking about bankruptcy if there's a medical emergency or even a short-term illness or injury. So when you ask people what their number one issue is, guess what? It isn't global warming, even though they might say it is. It isn't, Syria or terrorism or the border, even though they might say it is, because in the back of their head, they're figuring out where they got to pay their health insurance from, which account they're going to pay their health insurance from this month. And then you say, well, okay, so what are the candidates' plans? And there's an awful lot of talk about health, quote unquote, care. There's not a lot of talk about individual plans and ideas. Obviously, the Democrats want single-payer health, which I have said to many of my conservative friends is a powerful narrative Republicans seem to want to talk about deregulating state insurance laws and free markets and things of that nature. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the president, if he talks about it at all in his campaigns, gets this stuff down to the point where people can understand what he's talking about. Of all the issues in this election, again, these aren't in necessarily any order, although I do think the underlying big issue in this election and many elections in the future is going to be this health insurance issue. Of all the issues, Trump himself is probably the biggest. His bombast, his personality, his supporters against his detractors. Trump himself is the issue in this election. What do we do? What are we going to do next? What is he going to do next? What if he's impeached? Is he crazy? Will he win even if he's impeached and removed? Can they impeach him? Can he get reelected? All kinds of things about him instead of any particular issues. I would say, honestly, I do believe that health care or health insurance is the largest issue, but I'm sure, you know, to a certain degree, a personality by the name of Donald J. Trump is actually the biggest issue in the election. Think about that. Another issue is jobs and the economy. Now, when you go through and you do a list of issues, there are all kinds of lists upon lists upon lists about economic issues. You know, the Federal Reserve, the bond markets, you can get extremely detailed. But when it comes to presidential politics, we're talking about jobs and the economy. And, you know, Trump's ballyhooing of quote unquote his economy and how things were when he got here is the centerpiece of his case for reelection. Look what I've done. Look at the way things were and how they are now. Well, and I know this will upset a lot of Trump supporters, but the fact is that the U.S. economy, and as we await before we do this podcast, I've got a couple podcasts to do this week, so I'm not going to wait. But Wednesday morning, the GDP numbers for the third quarter are going to come out, and predictions, now, who knows, but predictions are somewhere around 1.4%. Inflation is running at about 1.8%. The second quarter was around 2%. So we're going to end up probably below the 2% line for 2019. So yeah, not much difference from what was going on the last 3 to 5 years. And Trump supporters just really get upset when you say that because they believe that the economy is booming. I don't see how 1.8 or 1.4% growth at the inflation line is a booming economy. And I've said this 100 times. It's not because I don't like Donald Trump. It's not because I'm unwilling to give credit where credit is due. You know, the numbers are the numbers. Probably the biggest accomplishment of this president's term, his first term, was the tax cut bill, or his worst moment yet, depending on which side of the fence you hail from. But the Tax Reform Act, quote unquote, or tax cut bill or whatever they called it, is an addendum to the Tax Reform Act in the late 1980s. So they made some changes. They gaveth and they taketh away. Probably the biggest thing was repatriation of money overseas for U.S. companies and the reduction of the corporate tax to 20% from much higher levels, 35, 37%, and the changes in the pass-through for small businesses. Is the economy growing? Did Trump fix it? What happens next? Are we headed for a recession? These are all things that I can't tell you, and these are all things that you can't tell me. Democrats will talk storm clouds. They'll talk about inequality in terms of the theme that we shouldn't have all these rich people and, you know, CEOs make more money than their employees will make their entire lives. Nobody ever says, well, so you give the guy on the line with a high school education the job as CEO and he'll end up committing suicide. So, you know, the CEO job gets a lot of pay because they take a higher risk. But that's, you know, I don't want to be partisan. But this idea that inequality is predicated simply on the number behind your name is absurd. And most people really wouldn't even want to make $27 million a year because that's a whole other set of problems. Republicans will talk about this boom, which I don't understand what they mean. And they will talk about unemployment numbers, which are, you know, valuable. Unemployment is certainly a metric to look at, but unemployment is not the GDP. So it's important to point that out. And then finally, the last big issue is this question of whether we need to be involved in conflicts across the world. This sense that U.S. military deployments are not appreciated, that we are not compensated for them as if we are mercenaries, and that we shouldn't be doing this. This question of a new type of isolationism. We'll talk about some of these issues, and we'll get back to the dreamy nature of American politics in the second half of this podcast. Okay, so we talked about heating checks because it's going to start getting cold as we head into November, and it may get colder in Minnesota sooner. We're pretty much done with the heating checks, but when it comes to keeping all of your systems running right this winter at home or business, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. When you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you want reliable service. You know that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-4771. 7-6-4-88. They go back four generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Frozen pipes, heating systems going down without warning, all kinds of issues with plumbing when it gets cold. And that's why you keep Ryan's number aside. You can also check him out online at ryanplumbing.com. Well, you guys know I hate my printer because I hate paying for print cartridges. I know how you can save 30% compared to the big box stores on these cartridges, and they are guaranteed to perform as good as new. That is Cartridge World. Click on that beautiful banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that says Cartridge World, or call Jason at 763-420-6632, Cartridge World in Maple Grove. Yeah, let's get back to the dreamy nature of American politics, where specifics are not as important as connecting emotionally. That's really important to point out. People don't think of deployments of U.S. troops in terms of foreign policy like an academic does. They don't sit there and go, well, is this real politic or is this a liberal foreign policy school? Or, you know, let's talk about isolationism and its effects during the 1930s and the interwar period, blah, 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 blah. They don't think of economic issues in terms of the Federal Reserve and Bretton Woods academics and investors. Even investors and traders don't necessarily follow these things that the conspiracy theorists and people like Gerald Salent post on YouTube about constantly, that, you know, we've seen an uptick in the, you know, in the overnight rates, or we've seen it, you know, no one, even traders don't pay attention to that stuff. And it doesn't really become an issue, for example, until there's a crisis. So when it becomes to foreign, to speak to foreign policy, this was a week in which we had a situation with the United States deploying special forces to kill the head of ISIS, Baghdadi, and the president's announcement of it, which was 56 minutes. And if you get the chance, you should watch it. I will link it in the, you know, blog. But regardless of how you feel about the president, it was a tour de force performance, and I think it probably went a long way to shoring up his weaknesses with his core and putting his critics on the defensive. Now, politically, it may have happened too soon, but the fact is that he has this feather in his cap that he can claim, and so U.S. military prowess kind of becomes the top story. The other stuff is kind of beneath the surface, as far as whether we should be involved in foreign wars or deploying U.S. troops in different parts of the country and what they do. Those are complex issues for academics to debate. The average person really doesn't think about that stuff. The other thing is issues are fluidic. What you hear about on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or see on YouTube or read on the internet day to day and in the street is different from what things are decided on when it comes to votes. The left tries to isolate these issues like inequality when it comes to economics. The right tries to isolate these issues like immigration when it comes to society. When these issues finally get into the public discourse in the form of political advertising, social media, and stump speeches and news coverage, the specifics don't matter as much. And I think that's probably one of the biggest takeaways, is don't get caught up in the specifics. Try to think of these things on a broad sense, because the broad sense is how the candidate will connect. And as I've often said, the ability of the candidate, whether it's a House candidate or a Senate candidate or a president, to connect on a broad emotional level is far more important than connecting on the specifics. These long lists of issues people cannot hold in the forefront of their imaginations, in a decision-making process in the voting booth about the presidency, which incidentally, the popular vote does not elect, and with good reason. So when we talk about the big issues, the stuff that's the broad brushes, healthcare, economy and jobs, foreign policy, Trump himself, the wild cards being a major foreign policy challenge, a major economic challenge, the possible impeachment and removal of President Trump from office, which I think is a long shot. These are things which really are the big issues, and the themes are the specifics that I gave you, those lists of specifics like opioid addiction or fentanyl problems in places like Columbus, Ohio, or economic problems in Akron or Michigan or places like that. So when a candidate goes out and talks about those things specifically, that's one thing. But what they're really doing is they're painting a broad picture about aspirations and a broad picture about fear and a broad picture about the future and what your stake in the future is if you vote for a certain individual. Now, there are wild cards in all this. If we have a major foreign policy challenge, it's a wild card. If we have a major economic challenge, it's a wild card. And, you know, this is one of the things, it's one of the criticisms that people have about the president is that he does all this stuff shooting from the hip, and you never know when you're going to have a bigger problem. There's been a lot of talk about Turkey vis-a-vis Syria and Russia and the United States and Saudi Arabia and the Middle East. But, you know, in terms of that being an issue, well, that has to blow up for it to be an issue. So if something like that does blow up, well, then the administration's role in blowing it up become a key issue. Same with the impeachment thing. If the impeachment thing blows up, well, that's one thing. Right now, as of, you know, October 29th, 2019, I look at it and I just say, well, you know, I haven't seen anything yet that really is what I would call a smoking gun. And I went through this with the Russian thing too. Doesn't mean that it didn't, that he didn't do something. Doesn't mean that something he did isn't impeachable. It doesn't mean, you know, that the process the House is going through right now is unconstitutional. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. Those are all arguments to have on the margins. But if something blows up, well, then that becomes the major issue. Same with economic challenges. There's a lot of talk about the repo markets. You'll have to look it up. And I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about overnight banking, liquidity. There's a lot of talk about quantitative easing. There's a lot of talk about layoffs. There's a lot of talk about, you know, manufacturing recession, things of that nature. If that doesn't become something that blows up in a year, so October of 2020, well, is economy going to be a big issue other than pocketbook issues? So I think what I would do is encourage people to think about these big pieces in terms of how they play in the real battleground states and in the House and Senate races, which, by the way, you know, House and Senate is going to be very important. You have 19 right now Republican House members retiring. You have some issues with money raising for Senate races that doesn't necessarily bode well, although we're quite a ways out from this thing. And of course, statewide races, governors, senators, you know, things of that nature, attorneys general and so forth. And then how all this plays out in these key states like Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, Minnesota, but primarily Pennsylvania and Ohio, and maybe to a lesser degree, Florida. So let's get back to the quote. A problem which life is always bringing us up against, namely the uncertainty of all moral valuation, the bewildering interplay of good and evil, and the remorseless concatenation of guilt, suffering, and redemption, a small, still voice that sounds from afar, ambiguous, questionable, dark, presaging danger and hazardous adventure, a razor-edged path to be trodden for God's sake only, without assurance and without sanction. So the quote was by Carl Jung in talking about the interplay between spirit and nature in man, and in particular in the archetypical expressions in dream states. And I think it's appropriate where you hear one thing one day and the next day you hear something completely opposite, often from the same source, in a time when so many statements seem so disconnected from day-to-day events, where it really does seem like a dream, where sometimes for me, I get more of a handle on what's happening when I watch drama, like shows like Succession or Euphoria or documentaries like The Trade, you know, where you're watching television and you're kind of seeing this stuff played back. And certainly it's through a biased lens, but you get more data from that kind of stuff than you actually get from the actual details. Because I don't think the actual details are going to be what people end up voting on. It's very much down to personalities and partisanship. You know, you have one party that has really made its number one priority defeating the president, and you have another party that's made its number one priority supporting the president. So a personality is very much the issue in 2020. Maybe with this president and with our politics, this is the way it was always going to play out. Maybe this is the way all presidential politics, and even maybe this is the way presidential politics and even local House and Senate races always play out. This dreamlike quality of American politics, like a, you know, it's like a dream where the expectation is somehow of the noble American voter, the Norman Rockwell Election Day in Vermont image with the auburn colors and red in the trees, brown, bracing air, brilliant sunshine, the hail people doing their duty. I'm not sure a population driven by emotional stimuli, armed with inaccurate facts gleaned from unreliable sources, thriving on rumor and conspiracy theories, or even worse, out-and-out hate, is noble. But I guess we'll see. One more shot about payment processing. You know, payment processing helps businesses get paid faster. And almost everyone knows this. We've had a payment processing revolution in this country. And I love to recommend a company that really is at the forefront of the payment processing revolution. And that is ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. ReliaFund.com. What do? They integrate with all of your systems seamlessly so that you're able to get paid faster, better, and you have options. I use ReliaFund so people can pay with an electronic check if they want. They are great. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. No long-term contracts. If you call them, you will talk to a human being, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, or check them out online at ReliaFund.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, let's talk manufacturing. We did talk about the economy a little bit. There's a lot of talk about bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. To do that, you got to have a great U.S. manufacturer, and that is DepoStar, D-E-P-O-T, DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit DepoStar at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher for Android devices. Actually, I recommend Spotify for Android devices, iTunes, TuneIn, the podcast app on iOS. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on Facebook and Twitter, not the comments so much. I do also appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command. We're going to be sallying forth again, and so I'll give you details on that going forward. Thanks for listening to Podcast 871, The Issues in 2020.
Bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club. They watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody in the club. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh.
You are now rocking with Will.i.am in
Britney, bitch.